Our next guest, it is Yannick Hansen. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Thanks for this, Yannick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing pretty well. You know, we're getting ready for golf season, as it seems a lot of people are around the city, given what's transpired here over the last couple of weeks. Like, as a player, you know, we know that mathematically the Canucks are still alive, but it felt like as a team, as players, they kind of the reality of them not being able to make the playoffs seemed to hit them against the Seattle Kraken the other night.
Yeah, that coupled with the way St. Louis is humming right now, it's just the perfect storm kind of right now, where they're fluttering, getting some points, not stringing anything together, and the team they're chasing or they're fighting with are winning every single game, and then it becomes real hard real fast. That being said, you always look at it and say, until I have that dreaded E next to my team name, I still believe we can still make it. We're still playing the game as if we can make it. As soon as you get that little asterisk next to your turn, it's a different game, and the mood is different. It changes in the dressing room. Everything sets in a little bit differently. So they still have a couple of games where there is, like you mentioned, that theoretical chance still, which means the games are being played like they matter.
You know, the game against the Kraken, I couldn't help but think of things that you've said before, too, that when that E goes next to your name, the guys start playing for themselves and becomes cookie night, and you just try to get your stats up. And it did feel like, though, after that first goal went in, that players became very individualistic. Rather, it was about themselves, or they're just trying to change the tide of the scoreline themselves. It became very individual, and it felt like it led to goals 2, 3, 4, and there beyond.
Yeah, I don't really know if you could chalk it up to that. When we talk about that, and when I've mentioned that's with teams that are out in December, that have nothing to play for other than your next contract. Vancouver, right up until the last game or two here, we legitimately thought, like, hey, they string a couple together here. St. Louis stumbles a little bit, Calgary, and then we're in it. So that thing is not something that's really evident. And again, you don't have that long of a run here, the last, what is it, 7 games or mm-hmm. something like that, to pad your stats, so to speak. Nothing you do from here on until the end of the year, it's going to change your contract. That's where, when we talk about this in December, yeah, now we can start talking about, you start piling up points, even though you're losing, you're setting yourself up. No matter how anybody play from here on in, it's not really going to change the contract they're going to get from next year. Whether or not it's a player you want to keep, you know that already. We're playing out the games and all those things. Where you can make a difference is if you go into the playoff and you're a player that hasn't really performed, and now all of a sudden you take off and you become a vocal point in the offense or defense, and now everybody, all the other teams are seeing you and say, hey, this is the guy we want. But nobody is going to move the needle in the last 7 games of the season.
Do you learn stuff about young players in these final few games, or is it too much of it's loose hockey, these games don't matter a ton, there's not a lot of pressure, it's hard to get a real gauge of how much you can believe in what's happening here these final few?
You don't learn anything, they learn something. And to put a little bit of context to that, the organization don't learn anything because there's no pressure. You're not playing to win. You're probably better off dropping a couple of games now, getting a higher draft pick.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where the player, absolutely, if it's a young guy, hasn't played before, he gets to walk into the building, he gets to see the building, he gets to play there, being reffed by NHL refs, playing at a different pace, so the players can benefit from it. Granted, it's brand new. Lekimaki, Elias Pettersson, and all these young guys who have already played 20-some games, they're not going to learn anything from this other than this sucks. Let's not have that happen to us again. And then work that much harder in the summer and come back prepared, because I want a roster spot for game 1 of the season.
It's something Dan and I are going to talk about here moving forward, but I'll ask you, what are you paying attention to most in these final 7 games?
And truth be told, other games. It's one of those things. Like it's now the ship has sailed, and it is so tedious to watch.
Yeah.
I don't. If there's something to watch for, it's individual. Like, was Quinn Hughes on pace for doing something, or can a guy hit 100 points? Because now they're just playing it out, and I don't need to see if Brock Besser all of a sudden becomes a better player or any of those things. No, I these guys are who they are, and they're going to miss the playoffs. Roll it over, and let's see what happens in the off season. Who's back and who's not. Now we get the benefit of judging the moves that were made by the organization and whether or not they paid off or not. And this is one of those things where should you maybe take a different approach at the deadline? Should you maybe have moved a guy or two in order to collect some asset? Should you maybe not have used the asset you got from JT, and you could have potentially been sitting with three first-round draft picks instead of rolling in with one now?
So I take it Yannick is going to be watching Alex Ovechkin take on the Great Chase, see if he can beat the record tonight.
That's one of those that you watch for, and I will play in the background just because of, again, it's got significance. And again, if there is a marquee matchup coming up as well, it'll be turned on. Otherwise, it's not like, hey, I got to get home here. There's a Canucks game on now when they're out.
So I guess the big question mark now for the team, I mean, aside from Elias Pettersson, which we've talked about ad nauseum, and maybe we'll talk about again here today, but the conversation all week has been around Rick Tocchet and the Canucks making it public that they have control over him for next year. So anybody thinking about trying to allure him to their fine city, back up, because he's Canucks property for next season, whether he's coaching here or not. Do you it seems the front office is very confident in the job that Rick Tocchet has done. How do you feel about the way Tocchet has coached this team, and if their struggles is on the coach in any way?
No, it's not, because the coach can't score goals for you, and that's what was happening this year. Your two most important offensive catalysts were missing in action too much. And that's where, we're going to miss the playoff by, 6, 7, 8, 9 points now. It would have been less if they would have been closer coming down to the point here. Mm-hmm. But I can find those points if JT and Petey had played close to what they were last year, but they didn't. So a coach can't tie on the skates and go out and do it for them. They have to do it. That's the team he's got. And you're expecting certain production from certain players. And when that don't happen, teams will underperform. And if it was a case of these guys just completely blowing up, the systems are terrible, we're getting outplayed, outshot, outchanced, out everything. Yeah, maybe it was the coach's fault here. But again, last year, they were phenomenal. Yeah, everything went right for them. No injuries to their key guys. They were producing and all those things. The only thing that happened, we got a little bit of bad luck or whatever it is with injuries on some key players this year. But the underperformance from your key guys here is what led to this downturn. And that's one of those things that's really hard to blame on a coach, especially when nothing changed in terms of deployment, line mates, or ice times, because those were all consistent going from last year to this year. The only thing that wasn't was the production.
If you're Rick Tocchet and you sit at the negotiating table, and outside of money and all that sort of stuff, what's something that you want answered about what assurances the team can give you?
Well, the first thing is, again, what's the direction? And is the direction that we're going to push for playoff and stuff like that? Because then my next question is, who are you going to bring in for me? Who's going to fill out the four holes, the glaring holes I have in my lineup right now that I need filled in order for us to take that step? And then those are the answers you're looking for. Because like you said, it's apparently in Vancouver's control. They have an option or whatever it is. So he's coming back, Tocchet. I mean, he can sit out and say, I know I'm not coaching, I'm going to sit in my lawn chair somewhere. But granted, if he wants to coach next year, he's coming back here. And what is the direction? And from a coach standpoint, again, it's obviously more fun to be competing for a playoff spot. But if you're dialing this back and saying, oh, we we need to get in some younger guys, some draft picks, some prospects, and then you need to shape these guys. And then a couple years down the road, then maybe there's a path forward. So as long as it's laid out and it's not this, oh, we're going to try, we're going to hope, maybe we get lucky, because that's kind of the worst case scenario where you're coaching and playing in this purgatory that is 16th to the 20th spot where you're missing the playoff and you're not getting a draft pick that's going to make any difference down the line. Because then you keep being good enough that you can sell tickets, but not bad enough that you're going to get anything in that'll make any movement. So it would be nice to get some sort of sense as to where this team is going. And I know JT Miller, nobody could have predicted that you had to trade him because of dressing room drama, threw a wrench in there. But now you have some enormous question marks, and it's not just around your number one and number two centers anymore. Is Demko able to play a full season? Or will we have to rely on spending 12, 13, 14 million on a goalie tandem because we don't know if we get 20 games out of him or we get 60? And that's a waste of money as well. So there's a lot of question marks that we didn't have 8 months ago. And some of them can obviously be answered. Some of them you need to get lucky too. Because we need to go out, and if they're pushing next year, you need to go out in UFA and find some players here, because you can't trade for them. You're going to have to overpay if you're looking to play for a playoff spot next year. You're going to have to get lucky with some of your signings, Sherwood, Suter, to name a few that they've done in the past, Joshua as well. You've got to get lucky with those ones. But we need elite talent, players that make other players around them better, because those ones, there is one of them on the roster right now in the top line in the top half of the lineup. You can argue that Garland and Suter has some extent as well, but they should be doing that in the bottom six. In the top six on the forward side, there is nobody there that makes other players better. Quinn does it from the back end, but we used to have Petey and JT that made their wingers that much better, that made it a deep team, that took the pressure off everybody else, that they could get a little bit more room and start producing. And those players are so hard to come by. They get drafted, developed, or you get lucky in a trade like Tampa that had to get rid of a JT Miller. And then he lands here because he's getting dumped. But otherwise, you're not going to find them. And if you go out in free agency, you're going to be paying a bucket load, where now we're missing out on the depth pieces because you paid these guys.
Just on the idea of these last seven games, as we're sitting here with, like, not necessarily excited, right? And you had a great answer about that. But how much value can you get of just, like, this summer, everybody just stepping back as an organization to say, you know how crazy this was? Like, you mentioned the top two centers and the injuries that have all happened. Of just sitting back and just saying, okay, how much can we gain from just taking a summer off and come back next season and see, just from a mentality point of view, the chaos is not so much. Like, how much can be gained from not completely chaos all season long?
Well, we can gain it if Petey shows up like a number one center. If he had, like, there was rumors about him not showing up in the greatest shape or whatever it was in the beginning of the year, and that played into it and all these things. If he shows up and becomes the player we all hope he will be, then it will have been a good summer, because now it answers one of those questions and it alleviate the pressure of having to find a number one center. Now we just, in quotation here, needs a number two center. So that's the only positive we can take from this. Demko's injury situation, it sounds like it's a chronic thing, something he has to deal with for the rest of his career, which is not something that gives you a lot of sleep at night, thinking about that in a goalie position and how they're taxed and all those things. But again, if Petey comes back and is a refreshed player, then it's lost money found kind of thing. And you don't have that hole to fill. But you have to make that decision now. Yeah. And you're making that decision for the future of the Vancouver Canucks on Petey, because you can theoretically still trade him wherever you want to. Are you going to get anything back close to the same potential? No. But you can get out from underneath $11.5 million, and you can spend that elsewhere. If you do that, yeah, you're taking three steps back. There's no question about that. But at least you have some sense of the direction of where this team is going based on your decision on him. So if you're keeping him, then you're going out to adding players. You're looking to push for a playoff spot next year. Then you're hoping he comes back and becomes the player, and then we can fill in around him. But it's a lot of question marks that you had hoped that you could have been answered in a playoff series or two where, okay, is he ready to take this team to the next level, or is he the Petey that we've seen this year and then the playoff next year? We won't get a chance to do that now, so you have to make the best guess now, which is a terrible way to decide the direction of a franchise, to be honest.
12 months on, and the biggest question still remains the biggest question for the Vancouver Canucks. What's going on with Elias Pettersson? It's crazy. Yannick, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care, guys.